Lord, we come to you now at this time in the service, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for coming and anointing Brother Nate, Lord, and to lead in the singing and the worship, Father, and guiding him, Father, in what songs to sing, Lord, and preparing the hearts and minds of the people, Lord God, for the word to come forth. Now we're at the time for the word to come forth, Lord, and Father, we've given time to study, Lord, and to for inspiration to come, Lord. And now, Lord, I ask that you'll come and anoint your servant, dear God, that I may be able, Lord, to yield to you, Lord, to that you would come, Father, and open the word up to the people, Lord, and make it real to them this morning, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I want to turn in the Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. And what we're going to be speaking on this morning is faith. And this, Brother Todd, Brother Will, this will be a part one for faith. And I was, over the past couple of weeks, things that I was inspired to and things that I went through and things that happened in that, I was just feeling pulled toward actually speaking directly about faith. And so now let's read from Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You may be seated. Our bodies, our flesh is controlled by five senses: see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And them five senses, they tell us things that we are in contact with in this world, in the natural. But there's none of them that declare faith. You can't see faith. You can't taste faith. You can't feel faith. You can't smell it or hear it. But yet, faith is a substance. Faith is a positive. Faith is real. It's not something you can pull out on display and show to someone. It's not necessarily something that you can you can't take your faith out and explain to someone that you have faith. You can't pretend that you have faith. Many people claim to have faith, and Brother Branham said what they really have is hope instead of faith. Faith is not hope. Faith is not, I hope it happens. Faith is not just positive thinking. There are a lot of people who just have positive thinking or intellectual faith. In other words, well, I'm just going to think this, and as I think this, then that's what's going to happen. That's not what faith is. Faith is not mental telepathy. Faith is not a power of the mind. It's not, faith is not something where you got to convince the mind. Faith is more real than anything, even than the five senses of your body. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. There, it's more positive than that. When you, by faith, believe you're healed, it doesn't matter what you feel. You might not feel like you're healed. You might feel like you're still sick. But if you have faith that you're healed, then you're not depending on what you feel, because what you feel is not real. What you feel is something that the devil is trying to convince you of. But faith is something that goes beyond those things. It's, Brother Branham called it a sixth sense. And it's, now, like, for instance, this morning, I've got a knife in my pocket. And I carry that knife around with me, and I put it in my pocket every day. And, you know, and I know that knife's there. And when I need to use that knife, I don't go looking for that knife. I know that knife is there. I just reach in my pocket, and that knife is there. And I know that knife is there this morning. I can't feel it. I don't see it. I can't smell that knife. I can't taste that knife. But yet I know that knife is there. And that's how faith is. Faith is something you know. And Brother Branham said it this way. He said, if I had a knife, if I said I had a knife in my pocket, but I changed my clothes this morning and I had left that knife on the dresser at home, he said, but if I really believe, God can put that knife in my pocket. And that's the thing with your healing. That's the thing with anything else that you're facing in life. That's the thing with trusting God for your finances or your job or whatever else. Whatever you've got to ask God for, you know, the Bible says if you believe it when you ask, you're going to receive it. And you know you're going to receive it. It doesn't matter what the signs say or what things look like or how it does appear. Like, for instance, if you ask God for a job, and it doesn't look like the job market's very good, and it doesn't look like you're getting any calls, and every avenue you seem to go down, it seems like you hit a dead end. But yet, if you believe that you ask God for a job, then you believe that his word said, whatsoever you ask, you shall receive if you only believe. Then the thing is, it doesn't matter what happens or what things are looking like or appearing like. You've asked God for it, and whatever you ask God for, you know his word says you're going to have it, and so you just believe it. You're not looking for a sign to show you that it's going to happen. You've got the word of what God said, and you believe his word. Hallelujah. And brother, and if you are sick and you've been prayed for, and or you've accepted by faith your healing, then it doesn't matter whether you feel healed or not. You know you're healed, because God's word said that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our God that healeth all of our diseases. The word says, by his stripes I am healed. And we know that Jesus was beat, and he stood there and allowed himself to be beat, and without uttering a word, without calling any angels down on the scene. Friends, he could have called angels out of heaven to deliver him out of that. But you realize what had happened in the Garden of Gethsemane is he had conquered the flesh. He had conquered the five senses. He had conquered his emotions. He had conquered the things, affections of the body and of these things. He had conquered all that. So he stood there and allowed himself to be beat, because he was being beat for you and I. And we know that. And we accept that. And then the word says, by his stripes, the stripes that he received from his beating, we're healed. So you know that's real. Hallelujah. Michael, could you come up here just a minute and help me just a minute? Faith is something that's positive. You know it. Hallelujah. Now, it's like Michael standing up here. I see Michael, so I know he's standing here. Someone could tell me, Michael's not standing there. But the thing is, they couldn't convince me of that because my eyes tells me I see him standing here. And that's positive. Someone could try to, you're just imagining that. No, I'm not imagining because I can see it. Now, if I was to close my eyes and reach out my hand and touch him, you could say, he's not there. You can't see him. No, I can't see him, but I can feel him. And the sense of feeling tells me he's there. And you couldn't convince me that he wasn't there because I feel him. And see, people rely on those five senses, and they rely on those five senses to tell them things so that they would know things. Thank you, Michael. You can go seated. Because we look and we say, well, sight's a positive thing. If you see something, then you know it. And a lot of people think, well, I got to see something to believe it. But see, faith is even more positive than your sight. If I asked Michael to come up here and I believed that Michael was going to do what I said and come up here, then I could have my eyes closed and not be touching him, but I would know he was here because I know that he would come up here when I asked him to. And I would be positive of that. And that's how it is when you ask God to do something. God said he would do it. You know God's going to do it then. So you don't got to see God doing it. You don't got to feel God doing it. But you know that God said he's going to do it. So you know it's going to happen. Some people try to work themselves up into having faith. Brother Branham said some people would come in the prayer line and they would be sitting there saying, oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Oh, I believe. They're trying to work themselves up into it. There's a lot of people that try to work themselves up into their healing. They want to be healed or they've been diagnosed with something by the doctor. Diabetes or high blood pressure or something, and they don't want it, and they don't want. They said, "Well, then I'm just not going to accept it. Then I'm just going to say I don't have it." But see, that's mental. That's trying to use thinking, positive thinking. But that's not what faith is. Faith is knowing that whatever that you ask God for, you're going to have it. Now. Realize this, God allows these things to come on you at times just so he can take you into his arms and reassure you. Amen. He's got to prove that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our God that healeth all of our diseases. And if we don't get sick, then there's no opportunity for him to prove that. So God allows things to be in your life so that he can prove that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our God that provideth. Amen. He allows you to have needs so that he can prove that he is Jehovah Jireh. But see, we as humans, what we don't want to go through the things. We don't want to go through the sickness. We don't want to change our diet. We don't want to have to watch what we eat. We don't want to, and fear that many times what it is, people say, well, I'm just not going to claim that. And really why they're not claiming, because they fear it. But that's not faith. Many times I've had people come to be prayed for that the doctor said that they needed a surgery. And they were afraid of surgery. They were afraid of anesthesiology. They were afraid that when they were put to sleep, they might not come back to. And so they think, well, I'll just go get prayed for so that I won't have to go through that, so I won't have to have that surgery. They're going to have that surgery because they don't have faith. That's not you. Faith can't be based on a fear. You know, it can't be based, faith can't have a foundation of, I just don't want this to be. That's not a foundation for faith. Amen. The foundation for faith is believing God's word. Hallelujah. Now, you know, faith is a direct evidence of things you can't see, feel, or taste, or smell, or hear. Now, I just took a drink, and I closed my eyes when I took it. And, but I can tell you it was water. And you couldn't tell me, no, that's Coca-Cola. No, I know it's not Coca-Cola because I know the difference in taste. So my taste buds tells me that's water. The sense that it brings in my mouth is totally different than other things that you would drink. The taste, you know, you couldn't convince me that that was juice because there's no sweetness to that water. And I you know, there's not a sweetness to taste. There's not a saltiness to taste. There's not any kind of fizz to it in that. And those things tell me it's water. And see, we rely on those things. If you have ever seen an experiment they used to do in school, they would have you smell something and take a bite, have you close your eyes, smell some one thing, and take a bite of something else. And you would think that you were actually taking a bite of what you smelled. And because your smell would send a signal, what your sense of smell would send a signal to your brain to tell you this was what you were eating, and it would deny what you were tasting. Anybody ever heard of that experiment as a kid? So you realize there are times that you know, it's like when I was in the Army and I was over in the Gulf and in the desert, you know, many of y'all have no doubt heard of seeing a mirage. The thing about in the desert is you know, the landscape, the way it is and everything, you lose all depth perception. When you look out across the desert, there's no trees to see. There's nothing to see as far as you can see. And in the desert, it might not be all flat because the wind blows and it causes the sand to make drifts and different things. And there can be holes and all that, but you can't see them because the way that it is, you lose all depth perception. So when you look out over it, but if you drive over it, and there are holes in the ground, and see, when I was there, we drove over. We weren't driving on roads. We were just driving across the desert. And you would drive over holes and different things like that, and you'd feel them. I felt like it was jarring my liver sometimes the way we would hit those things. But when you were looking and driving, you couldn't see it. You know, so though I was looking at my eyes, and my eyes would tell me, looks like it's level, but yet my eyes were lying to me. See, your five senses can be fooled. I brought a bottle of cologne up here with me this morning. Now, if I sprayed that cologne and stepped forward, well, I could smell that cologne and know that cologne was there. And I know it because of the sense of smell tells me it's there. Lydia, could you do me a favor? Could you come up and play Only Believe on the piano just for a moment? Now, but your five senses, you rely on them, but what I'm telling you is, as positive as they may seem, you can't really rely on your five senses. They can be fooled. Now, if we were to all sit here and close our eyes, and I would ask you, is Lydia playing music? You would know she's playing music because you could hear it. And you would know that because your ears, your hearing, was telling you you were hearing music. But have you, thank you, Lydia, have you ever before had where you thought you heard something? Yeah. And when you go to investigate, you can't, no, you really, I really didn't hear anything. I just thought I heard something. See, these five senses can be fooled, but faith can't be fooled. Faith doesn't rely on these five senses. And that's what a lot of people do is they rely on their five senses to try to have faith. They want a situation, they're going through something in their life, a situation. And they're asking God to deliver them from it. They're asking God to help them through it. But they look and they see they're still going through it. Nothing's changed. They've asked God to do it, and yet nothing's changed. And so they rely on and say, well, God hasn't done it. I came up for prayer. I asked God about a certain thing in my life, and I went out, and it didn't seem to change. Well, you're relying on your five senses. You're relying on your emotions and different things to tell you that it happened. But that's not what tells you. What tells you is faith. And faith is more real than that. It's like I gave you the testimony last Sunday of how the week prior, you know, when the Sunday before I gave the testimony on how that I had been diagnosed some years ago with a chemical imbalance in my brain. And, you know, and it was causing anxiety, and it was causing depression, it was causing different things I was going through, and I was really struggling with it, and then I gave you the testimony that God had healed me, and that I was going off all the medication. And then that week, I faced a hard battle. And Brother Branham says, after testifying and giving witness of God many times, Satan will battle you over that. You'll be tested to see, do you really believe? And, you know, and I told you last Sunday, I started suffering. I felt like something heavy was on my chest all week. It felt like something physical was on my chest. I couldn't see anything, but it was having the effect on me, just like as if I was laying on my back and had something setting heavy on my chest. It was causing me to gasp for air, and like I couldn't breathe. And when I would try to go to sleep at night and turn out the light, why, I would feel like I was suffocating. And it was trying to bring fear on me. And it was there was a voice telling me, you knew you shouldn't have went off that medication. Maybe you better go back on that medication. You know, and I didn't want to be going through what I was going through. I didn't want to be suffering what I was suffering through. I would sit up on the side of the bed, and I would pray and ask God, God, help me through this. And I would try to lay back down, and I couldn't. I'd sit back up, and I'd lay back down. I'd sit back up, and I'd lay back down. And it just was there. And it seemed real. But then Saturday, I told you last Saturday, I had asked my mom and my brother to pray for me. And remember in prayer, and I explained to them what I'd been going through and battling that week. And how it was going. And my brother, in prayer, the Lord laid a quote on his heart about a woman who had had a cancer. And Brother Branham, she came up before Brother Branham was prayed for. And after she was first prayed for, she felt better. And then a few days passed. And after a few days, she felt sicker than she had ever felt. And Brother Branham said, that is the best sign in the world that she's healed. And so when I read that, something happened. That weight that was seemed to be on my chest, that was causing me to have a hard time to breathe, it left me. And all of a sudden I could breathe. And that battle that was going on in my mind, and I tell you, friends, many times people accept, battles of the flesh, somebody having high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, or a heart condition or something like that. But I can remember as a kid, my dad praying for different sisters that would come to him from the church, and they would just be going through something, be a nervous wreck, and everything just made them nervous. And, they couldn't hardly stand to be around other people and talk and everything else. And all that seems real, and it's something of the mind. It's just as much as sickness is of your body. But you got to realize the same way Satan works on your body with these sicknesses, that's how he works on your mind. But a lot of people think that when they think it's a battle of mind, they think, well, it's just your thought. If you can change the way you think. But if it's an affliction of the devil, it's not a changing the way you think. That's not what's going to move it. That's not what's going to heal you. You can't just change the way you think. You can't just say, well, don't think that way. Think like this. That's trying to use something mental. And a lot of people, they actually rely on things like that for healing. I just won't think that way. I'm not going to say I have that. And so, therefore, I won't have it. That's all mental. Amen. Faith is, even though the evidence, it seems like that it's there, even though the doctors can test it and tell you it's there, even though an x-ray may show it's there, even though an MRI may show the condition's there, even though all the medical science can point to and say it's there, but if you believe, then God can bring it to pass and it won't be there. But now, remember this. It takes just as much faith to go through it as it actually takes more faith than for a miracle. Brother Branham says that. A lot of people, what they want are miracles. They want to just be relieved of it, not have to deal with it. That's not going to take it away. Faith is, it declares what the other senses can't declare. It's not you trying to, see, when people use those things of, well, I just want to accept that, they're trying to make themselves believe. You can't make yourself believe. The Bible says that by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Now, think about this. The time came for them to come to worship, Cain and Abel. And so they both were seeking a way to worship God that God would accept and be pleased with. Now, Cain tried to figure it out mentally. Cain went by things, Brother Branham said, that he was told. He said Cain and Abel were actually not told what really happened in the garden that caused them to be kicked out of the garden. He said Adam and Eve didn't tell them really what happened. And so Cain was trying to use his intellect to come up and discover what type of offering that he should make to God, a sacrifice. And so he arrived at a conclusion, and he went with it, and God didn't accept it. But the Bible says by faith Abel did. Now, It never says anything about Abel actually, that God came and gave him a vision and showed him what to do. But we know that faith is actually a revelation. It's something that you know. So Abel, he knew he brought the perfect sacrifice because it was revealed to him. He knew what sacrifice to bring. It was revealed to him that what sacrifice that it was going to take to renew man back to what he had lost in the fall. And he knew it. Now watch this. God comes down. Cain is all upset because God didn't accept his sacrifice. And so God comes down and he says, if thou doest well, will thou not also be accepted? Why he asked Cain, you know, why the long face? In other words, you know, why are you so sad? Why are you so down? If thou doest well, will thou not also be accepted? Now, Cain had saw with his eyes and witnessed with his eyes that what Abel had did in his sacrifice. But even though he saw it with his eyes, he still didn't believe that. And it's because Cain was still trying to rely on his human understanding. And in his human understanding, he could not understand or conceive why that Abel would have brought that sacrifice and why God would have accepted that sacrifice. So by faith, by something he knew, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. It says, by faith, Noah. Now, Noah was given the word of God that he was to build an ark, that it was going to rain from heaven, and that it was going to flood the earth. Now, up to this time, it had never rained. See, a lot of people don't realize it had never rained. The Bible says that the earth was watered from a mist that rose up from the ground. So it had never rained before. And so that's why the people didn't believe Noah when he said it's going to rain, it's going to flood. They're like, you're saying it's going to do something that it's never done. There's never been water come out of the sky. And you're saying there's going to water. Well, how could water come out of the sky? And so, but Noah, he wasn't relying on what he could see. He wasn't relying on what he could intellectually figure out. He was relying on God's word. God's word said it was going to happen, and then Noah believed that. Now, in the Bible it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 125 years, meaning that Noah... when Noah first got the word of the Lord and started to build that ark, and he began preaching and testifying to the people, it's going to rain, God's going to flood the earth, and all that go into this ark are going to be safe. And he worked on building that ark and preaching for 125 years without ever one drop of rain ever being produced out of the sky. There was nothing physical. There was nothing they could see, feel, taste, smell, or hear that could tell them that it was going to rain. But faith told Noah it's going to rain. Noah wasn't thinking, well, I'm going to do this just in case it happens. Building that ark would not have been an easy task. Noah was actually a farmer, not a carpenter. He wasn't a shipmaker. He was a farmer. You take a carpenter, and you can tell him to build a house, and he can, you know, maybe look at blueprints, and he can see what he's going to do, and he knows how many 2x4s to put together or to frame up a door, and he knows what to use to make a header over the door, and how much weight, what type of wood he's going to have to use, the size of it and everything to support the weight if he's having two stories and he knows these things and he can build it. But you take somebody who's not a carpenter and tell them to build a house, and friends, I'm telling you, you might not get more than a bunch of sticks. Building a house takes more than just taking a hammer and putting it through a piece of wood, a nail, I mean. It takes more than hammering a nail through a piece of wood. You've got to know how to put that nail in there. You've got to take into effect the stress and the weight, because you've got the weight of the roof, and those walls have to support that roof. And the weight has to be distributed right. And so, but when you would give that to a carpenter, then you would know, well, he's going to do it right because he knows what to do. He knows how to do it. If there was, if you needed something done in your house, and, you know, I know many people are men are handymen, and they kind of do some of their own things and that, but you know, many times when you're not really a professional in certain areas and you go about it to do it yourself, sometimes you cause yourself more work than what actually it would have took to have accomplished what you needed done. But if you get somebody to come that really knows what they're doing, then they can do it with the least amount of fuss and it turn out right. You know, you if you don't know what you're doing and you're just guessing at it, then, you know, you'll give it your best effort, and sometimes your best effort, it still doesn't come out right, and then you sit there and you scratch your head, and you're trying to figure out, why didn't this come out right? Why isn't the sink draining? Why is this not working right? You know, you go to flip on turn on the light, and you flip the light switch, and some people, their knowledge stops there, and they're like, and they'll just keep turning the switch on and off like that's going to change it. If there's no electricity there, it doesn't matter how many times you flip that switch on and off, that light's not going to come on. You know, it's just like, you know, there's many times I go to make toast at home. And, you know, many of y'all know about a toaster. If the toaster ain't plugged in and you try to push your bread down, it won't stay down. And how many times have you tried to push the bread down and it not stay down, and you push it down two or three times and then realize that I didn't plug it in? You see, but faith is not guessing at things. And Noah wasn't guessing at this. God told him exactly how to build that ark. Noah couldn't sit down and intellectually figure out how much water pressure there's going to be. And what am I going to have to do to make sure the water doesn't come in the boat and all these things? But God told him what to do. And see, God tells you what to do, then you do what God says. And then it comes to pass. And that's the same thing. When God tells you, ask and you shall receive. Well, the things you've got to do then, if you want to receive, you've got to ask. Faith is positive. Faith is not hoping things are going to work out good. Faith is not something of, well, I want this, so, God, please do it because I really need it, I really want it. That's not faith. Faith is positive. Faith is something you know. Just like I told you earlier when I started, and I said, I know I got this knife in my pocket. Well, the thing is, God's word said he healed me. So last week what I told you I went through, everything I went through was telling me I wasn't healed. And it all seemed real. But no matter how real that it seemed, it all went away instantly when I read that quote and said, it's the best sign in the world, you're healed. Right. And then something positive happened. And when it did, then everything around me, my body and everything else, reacted to that. And that's real faith. Faith causes something to happen. If people say they have faith, and if they have faith, then real faith, then it's going to cause something to happen. But you will be tested to see if you have faith. And Satan, friends, listen. Satan, you can't bluff him. That's why intellectual faith, or just trying to convince yourself something mentally, isn't going to move the devil. Well, I just won't think on it that way. That's not going to move the devil. Friends, look, the devil, when he came and attacked me last week, he came and he tried to convince me that what I was feeling and what I was going through was real. And in a sense, it was real. It was happening. It wasn't just that I thought it was happening. When I tell you I was having trouble breathing, I was all week long, I was gasping for air all day long. I was... And it was like I had to do that to try to breathe. And Satan was trying to make me think that was real. And it seemed real because all the senses of my body was telling me it was real. But the sense of faith said that what God said was real. He is the high priest of your confession, your profession, what you testify of. God is the high priest of that. He'll come and vindicate what, if you are testifying of his word, he's going to come and can vindicate that. He's going to testify of his word. The Bible said by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. And it said, and by which he obtained a witness or testimony that God testified of his gifts. So God came down and God actually proved that Abel was offering the right sacrifice. He actually proved that Abel knew what he was doing. Faith is not an excitement. A lot of people, you know, they come in to church. And they get in a service where the anointing and the presence of God is really flowing. And then they maybe have a need in their life, a healing or a some other type of need in their life. And so they get inspired by what they're feeling. They get inspired by their emotions. And then I'm just going to go and get prayed for. I'm going to have what I asked for. I'm going to, God's going to bring it. God's going to heal me. God's going to provide. God's going to do this. And they come up and they feel like they've got faith because they got worked up in their emotions. Because, you know, when the presence of God comes in, people, you've witnessed it many times, and you can actually feel it. When it comes in like that with such an anointing and God sweeping over the congregation, and I've watched a wave of it just go up, down one side and up the other of the church and just sweep over the people, and the people respond to it. And sometimes you get inspired by that, and while you're under that and under that feeling, you think you believe it's going to be okay, but then you go out the door and you go to face the week on Monday, and you're not in the presence of the Holy Spirit like that in the church. You're not under the presence of that anointing, and so you're not feeling excited, and then you're faced with what seems to be reality. And then many times people go to doubting. because what they've relied on, they're relying on their emotions. They're relying on what they feel. But your emotions can lie to you. There are times that, maybe you come to church and you see somebody out in the parking lot, and the way that they interacted with you and that, and then your thought comes to you, oh, man, what, did I do something? Did I do something to them? Why are they reacting that way? Why are they acting that way toward me? And so then your mind goes to scrambling, and your emotions gets to thinking you've done something, or and how many times you had the emotion feel like you don't feel loved? God loves you. Whether you feel it in your emotions or not, it's true, because the Bible says God is love. And you can look at what God's done in your life, the things God's delivered you from, the things God's brought you from, the things God's changed you from, and see the difference in your life, and that tells you God loves you. But then Satan will come, and when you start to go through something, and it seems like you pray and nothing's changing, and then Satan will come and say, God don't care about you. And if you go to relying on how you feel in your emotions at that time, it'll get you really down. And Satan will tell you, well, if he cared about you, you know, this, you wouldn't be going through this. This wouldn't be happening to you. Friends, listen. Remember when Jesus says, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also? Well, don't you think you've got to go through preparation for that place yourself? Look at all the things that God has changed in your life. He's preparing you to go to the place that he prepared for you. The Bible teaches us that there's coming a time after the rapture, 3.5 years at the marriage supper, and then we come back here to earth, and it's a time that's called the millennium. And that time of the millennium, as we're taught, is to be living here on earth 1,000 years. And that is to prove God's word, because the Bible said that God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the trees of knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you eat thereof, that day you will die. And many people, critics in that, will look and say, well, even Adam and Eve, according to the Bible, they didn't die right there. But the Bible tells us that one day with God is as 1,000 years to man. And when you look at the Bible, you find out Methuselah, I think he lived to be 969 years old or something like that. He's he lived the longest of any man that's ever been on earth and didn't make it to 1,000 years. So man never lived through an entire day in the eyes of God. So God said he sent his son to restore man back, to redeem us back to everything we lost when Adam and Eve failed to stay by the word and partook of the tree, and it caused and brought about death, that their bodies began to grow old from that moment on until eventually they died. But God sent his son to redeem man back and restore us back. See, man was created with eternal life. Man would never die. But because of sin, which was unbelief, it brought about death. And that's why that we have an allotted time in this life and then we die. It's brought about because that Adam and Eve represented mankind in the garden, and because of their unbelief, It brought about death. But Jesus Christ came to restore us back to life. Now, we know that we have eternal life, that even when we die from this body, we haven't really died. We know we go to heaven, that your soul can't die. But see, when man was created, his body was created to be eternal. His body was created not to die. To testify this, you get a cut on your finger. Many times you'll take and you'll put a Band-Aid on it and that. But what makes that cut heal up? What makes the skin close back together? It's not the Band-Aid. Maybe you don't do anything else to it except maybe put a Band-Aid on it. And after some time passes, that thing closes up. What is that? That's how God created the body. Brother Branham says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, everything you have need of in this life's journey is in you right then, including the rapture. And the thing about it is, faith is something you possess. It's not something you got to work yourself up into. And so the Bible says that teaches us that Jesus came to restore man back to what he had lost in the garden when he sinned. And the 1,000 years, the millennium, as the Bible teaches, that is us coming back and proving that God kept his word. When God says something, friends, in his word, God's going to come and prove it. Brother Branham said, when you try to work yourself up into faith by, just positive thinking, or some people, will say, and forgive me, I don't mean to be seem critical in any way, but some people say, I'm just not going to accept that. I'm telling you, that's not faith. Faith can by faith, you can stand there and say, I'm not going to accept that. But just, but why are you saying it? There was a man one time that seemed like a brother that seemed like he, other people would get sick, have sinus problems, or get a cold, or get some other kind of sickness and all that. It seemed like no matter what, he just never got sick. And this man used to say, the reason I don't get sick is because of my faith. My faith keeps it from me. But there came a time in his life where he got stomach cancer. And he died from it. Now, why didn't his faith keep that away from him? Perhaps what he was calling faith was just his body had the ability to fight things off. His immune system had the ability to fight things off, like little colds and different things like that. Where other people's, if your immune system gets weak, then your body doesn't want to fight those things off, and then you end up getting sick, and you can end up getting an infection and have to go to a doctor maybe and get antibiotics or whatever to try to kick that infection. There's many things that can cause your immune system to break down. And your immune system is something that God actually created in your body to help you. But saying my faith is going to keep it away from me. It's like a lot of people said when COVID happened, well, I don't fear it. I'm not going to get it. I'm going to believe by faith I'm not going to have it. Well, there were people, believers, that got it and died. And you can't convince me that they did. They died and got it because they didn't believe or have faith. You can't convince me that they got it and died because you say, well, they feared it. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Just trying to have positive thinking is not faith. Brother Branham talked about it, give an example. He says, you take a little boy, and he's walking through the graveyard, and he says, I'm going to prove that I'm not afraid by walking through the graveyard. And so when he walks through the graveyard, and he starts whistling, and he's whistling because it's dark, and because there's nobody around him, and his mind begins to work on him, you know, and like our human mind does, and, you know, and Brother Bram says he could say he wasn't afraid, but the very fact that he's whistling shows he really is afraid. Just positive thinking is not going to combat fear. That little boy could say, I'm not afraid, 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 and be afraid walking all the way across that graveyard. And that's the way many people are in life. They go through life saying, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. But actually the whole time, what they're relying on to combat the fear from them is actually a hope. They're hoping it doesn't happen. They're trying to rely on positive thinking. Well, I'm just going to think this way. That's not faith. Look, there has been people who got COVID and faith healed them. But you also realize it wasn't their time. You realize there, you know, you think because you've been diagnosed with something. And friends, as you get old, these bodies begin to break down. And as time passes, eventually you're going to die from something. It's the nature of this life after the fall. Let me put it this way. The name is escaping my mind. Jack Cole. Jack Cole was a preacher of divine healing. And he was a man, they said, of great faith. Brother Branham actually called it bulldog faith. Which meant that no matter what the circumstances, no matter what things looked like, he held on to it that it was going to happen. God was going to keep his word. I saw videos of his some of his services, and Brother Jack Cole. There was a person come up to be prayed for, and they couldn't see, and they had glasses, and they are asking Brother Jack Cole to pray for them, that they would be able to see and not need their glasses. And Brother Jack Cole asked them to hand him their glasses, and he took and broke their glasses and then laid hands on them and prayed for them. Now, he wasn't doing that to try to mentally convince that individual they were going to be healed. He believed God would heal him. He believed what God said. And they received their sight. He prayed for many people and they were healed. Then some years down the road later, he actually got a disease. Right now I can't remember what the disease was right now, but he got a disease and he died from it. And there was a lot of people that began to rumor around that he got off the word of God, and that's why God allowed that happen. lot of people begin to question about his faith. If he had faith to believe that these people would be healed, to pray for these people and these people were healed, why couldn't he have faith to be healed and not die? Brother Branham said, none of that's true. He said, it was Jack Cole's time for God to take him home. Now, this brother I told you about that always seemed to claim that he never got sick because of his faith. When he got the stomach cancer and he was dying from it in the hospital, there was something dropped into his heart that it was his time. And so he called up the pastor. And there were some things that he had done and said to the pastor and about some other people and done some things in that. And he called him and he went through and he made those things right. Because something had dropped in his heart, it was his time to go. Now, he didn't die because he didn't have faith. But you see, he went and made those things right by faith. Brother Branham tells a story in the message of faith as a substance about a man who Brother Branham was coming out of a drugstore. And as he walked out of the drugstore, there was a man standing there, and the man reached out and put his hand on Brother Branham's shoulder. It was a stranger. Brother Branham didn't know him. He didn't know Brother Branham. And the man said, listen, he said, I've got to ask you, do you know of anybody who lives around here by the name of Branham? Now, he didn't know Brother Branham, never met him before in his life. And Brother Branham said, yeah, why do you ask? And he said, well, he said, I had a dream. He says, I've been diagnosed with an illness. And he said, and I had a dream that I believe is from God that I was to come here to this city and that a man named Branham was going to pray for me and I was going to be healed. He said, do you know anybody like that? And Brother Branham said, yes, I'm him. And so Brother Branham laid hands on him right there on the sidewalk and prayed for him. And the man was healed. Now look, there was nothing other than this dream that this man had that there even was in existence in that town a man named Branham. He had no proof. He didn't see it in a phone book. He didn't have somebody tell him, but he believed that that dream was from God. And he believed that if he would go there, that there was going to be a man there named Branham, even though he had never met a man before like that, and that when that man prayed for him, he was going to be healed. Now, it was faith that caused him to make that trip and go there. It wasn't hope. Well, I hope there's a man named Branham there. Boy, I tell you what, I need healing. I hope this works out. No, he actually had faith that was real and that there was going to be a man named Branham there. And that's why he went there, made the journey, and inquired. And he knew he wasn't going there hoping there was going to be somebody there. He knew because he believed this dream was from God. And God healed him. When you know something's going to be, my family, you know, we make plans happens every year, and we take a family vacation. And we look forward to that family vacation. And the children, why, they get to where they look forward to that family vacation, and they think about the things that they do every year when they go, and they think about, I want to do this year, and I didn't try this last year, so I want to try that this year. And they're thinking of all those things. And if you would ask them, are you going? And they would say, yes, we're going. And you would ask them, how do you know you're going? Well, now, they've never saw the reservation. They didn't see the money that exchanged hands to put the deposits and pay for the room. They haven't seen the money that their parents have been putting back all year to be able to go there and be able to have these expenses that's going to be, and they haven't seen that. But you know, it's like two of my grandchildren, they really look forward to eating oysters, and they look forward to that. Now, they don't know about what their parents do every week and what they put back and how they put back money and put back and save for it and all this. They don't know about all those things. They don't know about what all goes into it to make it happen. But they just know it's going to happen. They know they're going to get there, and they know they're going to eat oysters. And they look forward to it. And friends, that's how faith is. You don't have to see all the things that go on behind the scenes. You don't have to see how God's going to bring it to pass. You don't have to, if you need a job, you don't have to see every intricate part on how God's going to give you that job. But faith tells you, you've asked for it, and so God's going to do it. You maybe you're having some difficulties financially, and you know, and you look and you say, well, I've got this much money that comes in, and here's how much money that's going to have to go out this month. And there's times maybe that people look at it and say, well, I don't got enough money coming in to match what's going out. Maybe you've never been there. God bless you. I remember a time when my children were little. We lived in Ohio. And my wife and I, it had to do with jobs and finances and that coming in and that. And, you know, if you lose a job and need a job, that doesn't, you know, the electric company doesn't call up and say, well, this month you're not going to owe. You're still going to owe. You still got to pay for your electricity. You still got to, you know, pay for your water or whatever else, you know. Those things still exist. And I remember we were having a little difficulty in that, and we sat down and we figured up for that week what we had, and we figured up what we owed and what we needed to pay out, and we didn't have enough. And so a lot of times what people will do when that happens is, because we're human, they'll think, well, what I'll do is I just won't give my tithing this week. I'll hold that money back. Well, that's because you're doubting. But if you really look at it, you already know that if you held that back, you still wouldn't have enough. But the Bible says that if you will give of your tithe and offerings, that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing of which you are not able to contain. And the Bible says, cast your bread upon the water. So tithing, if you look at it, the Bible teaches us that 10%, it belongs to God. It's not yours to begin with. It's not mine to begin with. It belongs to God. So, you know, my wife and I, we both agreed, even though we weren't going to have enough money to pay out what was needed for that week, that we were still going to give our tithing in that anyway. And we were still going to obey God's word. And we were going to trust God that God was going to provide. Now, it was on a Sunday morning, and we left to go to church. Now, we had no idea how God was going to provide. There was nothing that we could hope for. But we went to church, we obeyed God's word. After church, a brother come walking up to me out in the parking lot. And he had something folded up in his hand, and he came over, and he just reached over and stuck it down in my shirt pocket. And he said, "The Lord told me to give this to you today." Now, I didn't look at it right then at that time. I just thanked him. It just seemed like to me it would have seemed kind of rude to open it up and look at it right in front of him after he handed it to. I just thanked him for it. And so my wife, got in the car, and I told her what had happened. We went home, and then we opened it up, and it was a check. And the check was the exact amount down to the penny of what we were short to pay out what was owed that week. Now, there was nothing physical to tell us that God was gonna provide that need. We just believed it, and we knew he would. Now, and he did. Now, remember when Israel came out of Egypt, and God told them he was going to bring them to a promised land. And he had through Abraham, their father, had proved that he was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our God that provideth. And so he knew it. So then every time they came in need of something, God came down and provided. But they, every time they were faced with something, they doubted. Instead of believing what God said he would take care of us, and actually looking at the times God had testified that he had took care of them, instead they got their minds on the current situation they were faced with and maybe the impossibility of how it looked. One of the first things they came down and faced was the waters of Marah, and it was called that because the waters were bitter. And when they came down to taste the water was bitter, and they couldn't drink it. And they immediately, and instead of turning to Moses and saying, "Moses, pray God will do something to the water, or help us here with the water," instead, they doubted that the whole promise of God that he had brought a mountain that he was going to take care of, and said we'd have been better off back in Egypt. At least we had water back there. But then God came and God told Moses to cut down a certain tree, and the tree fell in the water, and then the water was turned sweet. Then the next time they came up against something, instead of them looking and saying, "God took care of us there." And see, many times that God takes care of us. Many of us sitting here this morning, we've been on this earth a good amount of time, and we've went through a lot of experiences and experienced a lot of things, and God has come down and provided for us, and God has took care of us, and God has took care of our situations, and God has healed many of you in that. But that doesn't mean you're not going to face something again. What the devil, though, comes and does is he comes and he tries to convince you through your senses that this time nothing's going to happen. This time it's impossible. The children of Israel didn't have food.
off the ground.
A miracle. The impossible becoming possible. God made, listen, the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. How many times in your life has God testified that all things are possible by making things that you were going through that seemed impossible at the time, that you couldn't figure a way out of them, you couldn't figure a way through it, and yet you sat here today and you've come through it and you're out of it and it's behind you now, and there's many of them that you can't go back and really explain what really even happened, but God delivered you. Well, faith is something that will take a hold of God's word, God's proof. And in the face of all your senses, in the face of what things feel like, in the face of what things that appear, because faith is the evidence of things you don't see. A lot of people look for an evidence being that something has actually happened, then that's the evidence. No, faith is the evidence. You believe. That's your evidence that it's going to happen. It's just like we believe that there's going to be a rapture. Now, the Bible tells us that by faith Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, because God translated him, which was a foreshadow of the rapture. You know, also Elijah. Elijah was taken up by chariots, and a fire came down, and Elijah stepped on him, and they took him up to heaven. And that was, again, a foreshadowing of a rapture. But we've got nothing scientific that we can point at to prove that there's going to be a rapture. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that the saints of old, of the Old Testament, arose from the dead too and were seen by many walking the streets of Jerusalem. But you never saw them. But you believe it. You know it happened. My grandfather Browning, before he gave his life to the Lord, you know, my dad was witnessing to him. And my dad was telling him about Brother Branham and telling him that he was a prophet. And he was witness to him about when Brother Branham spoke the squirrels into existence. And so, and if you don't know the story, Brother Branham was told by the Lord to wherever you say there's going to be a squirrel, there'll be a squirrel. And Brother Branham pointed and said, there'll be a squirrel right there, and a squirrel appeared. And he shot it, and it said, there'll be a squirrel right there, and a squirrel appeared. And he shot it and done it three times. And, you know, and my dad was testifying to his dad about that. And his dad says, how do you know that really happened? How do you know that man wasn't just telling you that? Were you out there? Did you see it happen? Oh, my dad, he was actually a little shaken at first. He said, no, I didn't see it happen. He said, then how do you know it happened? All of a sudden, the Spirit dropped something down. And he said, Dad, he said, do you remember in the Bible where Jesus anointed a blind man's eyes with mud and told him he would see and that he received his sight? And he said, yes. He said, were you there? Did you see it? Were you a personal witness to that? He said, no. He said, then how you know it's real? How you know it really happened? He said, because I know it happened. He said, well, that's how I know this happened. your senses might tell you that what you've asked for, what you need, is not happening. But faith tells you it's going to happen. The Bible says if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now, you know, sometimes people look at it and they'll think of literal mountains. But we face a lot of mountains in our life. We face a lot of mountains of situations, you know, and we refer to them as that. You ever heard of somebody saying, you made a mountain out of a molehill? In other words, you took something that's small and you've worked it up in your mind and made it bigger than what it was. But the Bible says that those mountains in our life can be removed. And Brother Branham says, if by faith you believe that, it doesn't matter if it moves one spoonful at a time, it's moving. Faith is more real than what any of your senses are. It's more positive. Faith cannot be fooled. When you really got faith, no matter what the situation comes, no matter what nobody tells you or says to you, it doesn't make you doubt. When, let's stand. This past week before, you know, all of my senses were telling me that what I had testified, and Satan said, see, you opened your big mouth. If you hadn't said something, you know. But he is the high priest of what we testify. He's going to come down, and if you testify of his word, he's going to come down and testify of you. He's going to prove that his word is true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Father. Lord, I'm asking God that these things that have been spoke, may the true understanding of your word, Lord, would rest in the hearts of the people this morning, dear God. Lord, I wasn't trying to convince their minds, but Lord, I was, by the leadership of your spirit, laying a foundation, something that their faith could be anchored in. And Lord, many times, Lord, we want to anchor our faith in what we perceive and what we see happening or not happening. And you can't anchor your faith in that. Because the devil, Lord, can come and he can play, he plays tricks on us. And he tries to deceive us. And he tries to make us doubt. And that's the devil, Lord, doing what his job, really. And Lord, he's not going to quit doing that. And we can't use positive mental attitude to try to stop the devil and what he's coming against us with, because that won't back the devil down. But real faith will back him down. Real faith will make him leave. I ask, God, that you'll bless your people today, Father. Strengthen their faith, God. Bless them as they go forth. Lord, no doubt, Lord, there are different ones here this morning that are faced with different things they're facing in their life right now and going through. Maybe some, Lord, that are they need healing. Maybe some need something to take place in their life. And Lord, if we really believe then those things will happen. Because you said that whatsoever we ask in faith, believing, that we shall receive. That we would receive whatsoever we had desire of. That's your word. I pray, may the people take you at your word this morning. And the things that they're facing currently in their life, Lord, may they go forth from here this morning, dear God, knowing that you are going to take care of that, that you are going to come on the scene, you're going to change the situation, you're going to change the narrative, you're going to provide, Lord, you're going to heal, Lord, because you said you were. And may they not rely on what things seem like or how things appear, because that's what the devil tries to get us to focus our attention on. But may they focus their attention on your word and what you said. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. You bless your people.